Good morning, and thank you for joining us once again for the Bible Believers Radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Mike Wheeler, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes as we study the Word of God together. Now, this morning, we're going to be back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you would, go ahead and make your way over there in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're turning in your Bibles, let me invite you to visit our website at www.bbbc-canton.org. where you'll find some information about our church, our service times, where we're currently meeting. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me. I'd be glad to talk to you. You can send me a text message, email. Whatever you need to do, I'll be glad to talk to you about any questions you may have. Now, currently, we're meeting in Waynesville at 695 North Main Street. And you can just pull around to the back of the building there in the lower parking lot. And you'll see the entrance where we go into our church services. And you're more than welcome to come visit with us. We'd love to have you. Hope you'll come visit sometime. And you never know what the Lord may do. You may get a real blessing. You may be a blessing to us. All right, now let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. With all the things that are going on in the world, the Bible will give you a little bit of a reprieve so that you can come away from those things for just a little while. And it gives you a place of peace, a place of comfort. It will give you a place to where that you can assess yourself, where you can kind of reevaluate yourself. And I believe that's kind of what we're doing this morning. If you'll notice down there in 1 Corinthians 10 and look down in verse 6, and last week we were talking about the examples of the Old Testament, how they were written for our admonition, verse 11, and for our learning, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, so that we might learn from the examples of other people. And I want you to notice when we get in verse 7 there, it says, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. So he's got some warnings. Notice in verse 8, he says, neither let us, you see that, us, commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And we were talking about last week how that is a very controversial verse and that the people who do not believe the Bible, they try to use that to disprove the scriptures. And we don't try to disprove the scriptures. What we do is we believe what the Bible says, and we know that the Bible will not contradict itself. So what we do is we just believe it at face value, and we know that there is a perfectly logical, biblical explanation for the verses. So now last week we showed you how that in one day in this verse that there were 23,000 that fell, but in total there were 24,000 that fell. And we compared Numbers chapter 25 to show you that. And this is listed as one of the problem texts of the scripture. But if you'll just not, you know, try to find something wrong with it and just believe the Bible at face value, you'll see the answer. God has the answers in there, and God has the answers for us. Now let's get back to this text here, and I want you to notice how he says, neither let us commit fornication. Look up in verse 9, he says, neither let us tempt Christ. Do you see how that Paul is including himself? He's not just talking to a lost world. You see, that's where a lot of Christians get kind of messed up, and they're a little bit off kilter about some of these things, because they think that once you get saved, you're perfect, and you're not. Once you get saved, you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have to worry about losing your salvation, but you are far from perfect. But thank God your soul and your spirit have been cut loose from your flesh, and you in your flesh can still sin. And I'm afraid that we are stuck in this flesh until we go home to glory, either by the clouds or by the clods, one or the other. I heard a fellow say something good the other day that I really like. He said, a lot of people think because we as Baptists believe in eternal security, and a lot of people call that once saved, always saved, and I do believe that. I believe once you're saved, you're saved, and you can't do anything to lose that. You can't lose your salvation in this church age. And he said, a lot of people, they say that the only reason we get saved is so we can sin. And he said, now listen to me. We don't get saved so we can sin. We get saved so we can serve. It's not a license to sin. Salvation is not. Salvation gives us the opportunity to do right. And so now Paul, here in this text, he's saying, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, we're going to try to get down through verse 13, if we possibly can this morning, but one of the things I want you to notice is this, is that all men are capable of messing up. We have so much Adam all over us, and I'm not saying A-T-O-M, I'm saying A-D-A-M, Adam, back in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'm talking about that guy that messed up with that tree, and so we are born with a sinful nature, and because of that sinful nature, we all are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We all have that in us. But look here, folks, just because somebody messes up doesn't mean they lost their salvation. Everybody has the opportunity to mess up, and all men are tempted. Tempted with things that, you know, will drag you away and carry you away. So now I want to try to look in some things in this text this morning from verses 8 down through verse 13, and maybe we can get us some help. And I want you to notice in verse 5, he said this. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Talking about those children in the wilderness, whenever they were wandering around for those 40 years, how that they messed some things up. And they messed up really bad, but God put them in this Bible. They didn't go through those things for us, but the Lord wrote those stories as examples for us, verse 11, so that we could learn from their mistakes. Now notice, he says he was not well pleased. So when it comes to pleasing God, I want to be well pleasing to the Lord. I want to do things that please the Lord. I want to do things that honor the Lord. And those are things that we all have to work at. You know, we have to strive for. We have to have some goals of trying to please the Lord. We have to plan for some things to please the Lord. One of the things that you might be able to do to fight your temptations is to plan out your time. And I know that may sound foreign to you, but it's a good practice to get into. Now let's take a look. Notice down there in verse 7, it says, neither be idolaters. So there are some warnings about idolatry in the Bible. And look in verse 14, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So now Paul is telling us, as an example, don't fall for idolatry. If you would take a look back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, and let's take just a minute there. And I want you to notice when they got the matter of salvation settled, one of the warnings that they were given was to flee from idolatry. Stay away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. It doesn't say that you have to do these things in order to stay saved, but if you want to keep a good testimony and keep yourself clean, these are some of the things that a Gentile, after they get saved, it's some of the things a Gentile needs to do in order to stay clean. Notice there in Acts chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. So now whenever a Gentile gets saved, it apparently, according to the scriptures, they have trouble with certain things. And notice it says, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. That's top of the list right there. Stay away from idols. And you know, as a Gentile, you know that you can set up an idol in your heart, and it's a want, a desire, a need. You think it's a need, but it's a gotta have me. I gotta have this and I gotta have that. And you gotta be careful about those idols, setting those things up in your heart. And he says, idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, it's such a burden to these people in Jerusalem that the Gentiles abstain from these things. He warns you twice. Look in verse 29. He says that you abstain from meats offered to idols. You see that, man? I mean, he is really on this thing about idols. And he says, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. So apparently, according to the text, evidently, Gentiles have a problem with that. Look again, if you would, look over in 1 John and look at the end of the book there in 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to notice another warning. And it's something that Gentiles have a problem with. Now, we as a Christian, whenever you get saved, you're saved, you're sealed unto the day of redemption, and you can't lose your salvation. And I'm sorry if you don't agree with that. That's your problem. You're going to have to get in the Bible and learn it for yourself. Notice there in 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 21. But even though you're saved and you're sealed unto the day of redemption, you can still mess up. You can still sin. Look at verse 21. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, there are stages of growth in the Christian walk, and you need to grow up a little bit as a Christian. You need to, if you're going to please God, you're going to have to grow up a little bit. At some point, you're going to have to get some Christian maturity. And these stages of growth, if you'll look back in 1 John 2, these stages of growth are like, you know, kind of like physical growth, but we're talking about some spiritual growth. And he says there in 1 John 2, and look at verse 12, and he says, I write unto you, little children. He says, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So now, a little child in the Lord, somebody who has been saved, and they're at least weaned off of milk, 1 Peter 2:2, at least they're growing a little bit, and they're beginning to learn at least that their sins are forgiven. Well, there's the warning, is that you abstain from idols. Because little children, they have a, you know, they have this idea and this in their mind and their heart that they go after things. They want things. So you've got to be careful about idols that you set up in your heart. You've got to protect your heart. You've got to guard your heart and guide your heart and give God your heart. There's your pretty good outline right there. All right, let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice where he says that, down there in verse 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So now when it comes to pleasing God, the first thing I want to tell you, let me give you a little outline of these few verses we're going over this morning, is to be sanctified. If you're going to please the Lord, then you have to be sanctified. You got to be separated. You got to be set apart from the things that are going on in this world. And the way that you do that, if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17, the way that you do that is with the Word of God. You're cleansed and you're set apart. And the Lord wants you to be sanctified. Notice in John 17:17, in what we will call the real Lord's Prayer, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And to be sanctified is just simply just cleansed and set apart. And if you want to please the Lord, then notice back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, he says, neither let us commit fornication. So now, no fornication. Nothing filthy. He doesn't want you to be a filthy Christian, a filthy-mouthed Christian. He doesn't want that. Now, I'm not perfect. And when I tell you this illustration, you're going to think that I think something above myself that I really am, but that's not it. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I just don't want to get dragged into something. I know my heart, and I know how easily that I can be carried away to something, and I don't want to be a part of it. The other day, I was at work, and there was a guy that was, he doesn't work with us, but he was working in the same area that we were at, you know, and my goodness, he had a filthy mouth. I mean, just filthy, filthy, filthy. And he was saying all kinds of things that, man, I'm telling you, a 20-year Navy man wouldn't say. And it was nasty, you know? And I said, look, man, you know, this is America. You can do what you want to do. If you want to cuss, you cuss. That's your business. But just tell me. I'm leaving. I'm not listening to this. I said, I'm not trying to be mean to you. I don't think there's something special about me. I just don't want to hear it. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live for the Lord. And I just do not want to hear it. And I said, I ain't trying to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to get upset with me. I don't want you to get mad. But it's just nasty. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I've been trying to quit. But he said, I just can't seem to do it. He said, I was raised that way, and I can't quit. And the other day, one of the guys came to me and they apologized to me for him cussing. I said, look, man, you can't control people's mouth or what they say. It's not reasonable. And the other fella, he said, he looked at me and told me, he said, man, I'm going to have to get me a swear jar. And I'm going to have to put me some quarters in it every time I say a cuss word. And that guy told him, he said, man, you better stick to pennies, because if you put quarters in there, you're going to be broke in a week. And that's about the truth, you know. Some people, I don't think they realize what they're saying or what's coming out of their mouth, but nothing filthy. If you're going to be sanctified, then you're going to have to watch what comes out of your mouth. Nothing flirty. You're going to have to put a guard about your eyes, and you're going to have to watch what you say around the opposite party. You're going to have to be careful. In mixed company, you're going to have to be careful about what you say. Nothing flirty. Even in the same company, you're going to have to be careful about what you say. Nothing flirty. Nothing filthy. And then he's talking about idolatry. Nothing freaky. Don't start worshiping basketballs or footballs or whatever, you know. Do you know that one of the things about Canton that people know is fast pitch softball? That's one of the, I guess it's one of the legacies of Canton, because when I was growing up, Champion had a team. Big deal, you know, fast pitch softball. I remember going to the games with my dad and some of my buds and watching those guys play. I'm telling you, man, they were good. And it was, you know, when you get out around other areas, people remember playing Champion and how good they were. And one of the other things about Canton is Pisgah football. It's a big deal. They know that those are the things that we're known for. And also they call it Stinky Town because of Champion, you know. But one of the things that I hope that people recognize Canton for is their deep religious beliefs. Their deep belief in salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity and doing right and living right. I hope that's one of the things that they recognize for. Nothing freaky. Just living for the Lord. Just be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Now let's look on further. So if you're going to please God, then make sure that you are living a sanctified life. And the other thing is, look in verse 10, it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and which were destroyed of the destroyer. So no complaining. Be content. Be satisfied, in verse 10. So if you're going to please God, then be sanctified and be satisfied. Don't complain about your lot in life. Everybody probably could find something to whine and gripe and mumble and grumble about. And there's some people that are just whiners, and then there's some people that are complainers. Some people whine about everything, you know, and complain about everything that's happened to them. And a lot of that has to do with jealousy. And jealousy will mess you up. And you got to be real careful about jealousy. Workplace jealousy, worship place jealousy, just wishful daydreaming. You got to be careful about those things. Now, I'm not a tall fella. I'm not real short, but I ain't real tall either. I'm kind of average. But I work with a guy that's about 6'5". He's a, you know, good tall fella. And he don't always have to stand on a ladder whenever we're doing things, you know. And he can reach up and push a ceiling tile up, you know, in an average height room without having to get on a ladder, you know. And I always have to go find a ladder. I can't do that, you know. And I'll tell him, I said, man, that's ridiculous, you know. And he said, well, it comes in handy until you're laying in your bed and your feet hang off the end of the bed, you know. He said, it's not real handy then. And I said, well, no matter how much I wanted to, I can't add anything to my height. Over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, that's a question. Nobody can. You can't add height to yourself by wishing that you're going to be taller. You know, when I was in school, I was not the tallest fellow in our class. As a matter of fact, looking back at pictures, I was kind of short compared to some of the other people. You know, there were some guys that were pretty tall in our class at Pisgah, and so I always wanted to be 6 foot. I wished, and I wanted to be 6 foot so bad, never did make it. I think the tallest I ever was 5'10 and a half, and that was probably standing on my tiptoes or something. You know, I'm just not that tall. But I've learned to be content. I am what I am. There ain't nothing I can do about it. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I can't change that. I can't change my height. I can do something about my weight, but I can't change my height. I can't make my arms grow longer. I can't make my hair grow if there's nothing up there. And I do have some hair. It's not that. But, I mean, you can't wish things into existence. It doesn't work that way. And so he's saying, be satisfied with what you have. And don't complain. Do you know the Bible warns us against complaining? And we are supposed to be content with such things as we have. We're supposed to be content with our wages. I mean, have you seen anybody in your life that is content with their wages? Everybody wants more. Everybody will, you know, do as much as they possibly can. And in some cases, they will lie, cheat, and steal to get all that they can and more because they are not content with their wages. You got to learn to be satisfied. And not only that, but you got to learn to be thankful. You got to learn to be thankful with the things that you do have. You can get to the place to where that you think that you just don't have enough, and you go out and play the lottery, or you know, you go to some gambling joint or something like that, and you're wasting your money. You're wasting what you have. You'd be a lot better off putting the thing in the bank and just let it draw interest if you're going to do something like that. But don't wish your life away. Don't try to be something that you're not. Be satisfied with what you are. Be satisfied with what you have. If you're not satisfied with what you have, you'll never be satisfied with what you get. Always wanting more and always desiring more. Now, I guess there's nothing wrong with a little bit of ambition, you know, ambition, a little drive to do something, but as long as it doesn't lead you to sin. Now, ambition in church is the wrong kind of ambition. Ambition, as far as spirituality goes, has ruined a lot of Christians. And I'm going to say it this way, frustrated ambition. Because somebody in church undoubtedly is going to get called to preach sometime or called to do something. And because they've got this itch that they just can't scratch and they're not willing to wait on the Lord to do something and let God put them into the ministry, they'll mess things up. They'll begin to talk and complain and try to put down somebody else so that they can get a leg up. And that's the wrong thing to do. You don't want to do that in your workplace either. You don't want to put somebody else down just so that you can get a leg up or a promotion or a raise. The best thing to do is just mind your own business and keep on working. Eventually, somebody's going to recognize that. If nothing else, the Lord's going to recognize that. He's going to recognize your honesty and your integrity. He's going to recognize your faithfulness to do the things that you're supposed to do. He's going to recognize your character whenever somebody else is not around watching you work or watching you do the things that you've been asked to do. He's going to recognize your character that you'll do those things even when somebody's not watching. And so God sees those things. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good thereof. It's not just the evil that he looks at. He sees your good. So he recognizes your honesty and your integrity, your faithfulness, and your character. And don't forget that. And you need to learn to be satisfied. Being satisfied in the Lord is a great thing. Notice back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So if you complain about things in your life that God's given you, that he's allowed you to have, and you're not satisfied with those things, you could hurt yourself. So it's a warning. You know, it's a warning to you. Now, when it comes to pleasing God, that's what we're talking about. You've got to watch how you think, your assessment. Watch your personal assessment of yourself. You've got to watch how you think. He says, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So be careful about your idea of yourself. You got to be careful about what you think about yourself. You can be realistic. Be realistic in your personal assessment. Be sensible, you know, when it comes to thinking about yourself. Don't think of yourself more than what you are. Just be realistic about it. You are what you are. God made you that way, and just, it's okay. You don't have to be something that you're not. Watch how you think about yourself, and also watch how you think about others. This is the fruit of a thankless heart right here, if you think about yourself more highly than you ought to think. Look over in Romans chapter 12 for just a second. And let me give you a couple of verses here. Look in Romans 12 and look down to verse 3. I recognized a few years ago when I was in a classroom looking around, and I noticed that there was a assignment for the little PDABs, you know, the little children. And it said, it's all about me. And what it is, you know, you're given like a little personal history. Who am I? What I've done, you know, and I'm not sure that that's the way we ought to start out our kids, all about me. And they think it's all about them. It's not all about them. Notice there in Romans chapter 12, when it comes to, you know, being in the will of God, he says in verse 3, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but, you see, to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you got to be realistic. You got to be sensible in your personal assessment. Then notice back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look down at verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. So not only do you have to be sensible and satisfied and sanctified, all those things, you also had to be settled. You had to be settled on the Lord. Now, this is one of those great verses that I've memorized and kept in my heart for years. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. You got to be settled on the fact that God is faithful. We may not be, but He is. He's faithful in everything. He is our Heavenly Father, and we love Him because of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. We may let Him down, but He will never let us down. When it comes to pleasing God, this God that is faithful, the God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to pleasing Him, you see, it's very important that we remember that He's faithful, and He's not going to put more temptations on you, you see, that He will not deliver you out of. Now, next week, we'll talk about verse 13 because there's a lot there to talk about, but I do want you to remember just that He is faithful. Be settled on God. Now, this morning, as always, I'd like to invite you to be saved. If you haven't ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you reach out to us? We'll be glad to talk to you about that and tell you how to be saved out of the Bible and tell you what salvation is and let you know that there is a way out of your sin, and all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you give us a call, reach out to us, send us an email, a text message, whatever. Be glad to talk to you. And thank you for joining us this morning for the Bible Believers Radio broadcast. And we hope that the Lord will bless you. Until next week at the same time, good day.